Ringside.com.
Getting this series started, Jesus and Our Mental Health. Back in the 1950s, there was a book that was published called The Myth of Mental Illness. Now, it argued that mental illnesses are not actual medical conditions. It's just an attempt to label socially undesirable behaviors and lifestyle issues in a way that the individual experiencing them is absolved from any actual responsibility for their behaviors. Right? That was 75 years ago. But one prominent pastor made waves just a couple of years ago when he basically asserted that that book was completely true. Right? He referred to mental illness as noble lies that allowed people to feel better about their socially undesirable behaviors. He acknowledged that there is such a thing as like obsessive compulsive behavior, but calling it OCD and labeling it a disorder is misleading because it's not measurable in the brain. Same thing with ADHD, PTSD, bipolar disorder. The D part, the disorder part, was what he took issue with, his belief that these were really spiritual issues, not physical ones. And his rationale was that that mental illness is not actually identifiable by any objective means. Like, you can't see things like OCD, ADHD, PTSD, or schizophrenia in a brain surgery or a brain scan. So labeling them as disorders allows people to validate them and then medicate them and then exonerates them. It makes the behavior acceptable. That way people don't have to take ownership of their own behavior. Well, that all sounds good, logical, or whatever, except most of those things are measurable scientifically. Right? And I bring it up because navigating the lines between psychology and spirituality can be tricky at times. Some people will side with the medical profession and take everything at face value, ignore the spiritual altogether. Others would take the opposite approach and say it's all a spiritual battle and it's a matter of faith. Right? There's definitely tension between the two at times. And think about it. We say and believe Jesus Christ is sufficient for all our needs in this life, even in the area of mental health. We sing things like, we have all we need in you. We quote Bible verses that say, with him all things are possible, and my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. And we genuinely believe those things are true. Like, God's word doesn't lie. Right? So then why, if that's the case, are Christians struggling with anxiety or depression or loneliness or suicidal thoughts? Right? Why are we so badly in need of counseling and prescription medications if we have all we need in Christ? Right? It's a wrestling match here. And then you have prominent Christian figures like the pastor that I mentioned, not knowing what they're talking about in regards to mental health. It can cause a lot of confusion. It can be really tricky to navigate the waters of mental health and spiritual perspective. And then on top of all this, it's one thing to talk about these issues when it's just theoretical, right? When it's just out there. It's a whole other ballgame when it's personal, right? When you or someone you love is living through it. That's just plain hard. So let's make it a little personal for me. My first, I guess I would say, real experience with sort of a mental health issue was about 15 years ago. It also coincided with a heart attack and having 5 stents put in one artery, so heart surgery. My surgeon told me afterwards in the recovery process there would be some days where a bit of depression would kick in. And he described it as feeling like you just feel down or very bluesy for like no apparent reason. And I kind of shrugged it off, to be honest with you, because I've never really had to deal with anything. I've never had that kind of experience before. So I just figured out it's not really going to affect me. Until it did. And over the next few months, there were a number of times where I really experienced that. Like the first time it hit me, I was like, what in the world's going on? Like what's wrong with me right now? And it hit exactly like the doctor said it would. I would some days wake up feeling sad and slightly depressed. Or it would just kind of suddenly hit me in the middle of the day, right? Like in the middle of the day, I'm like, whatever is going on, I'm just done. Right? I'm just done. I didn't want to do anything at all. And nothing I did helped, right? I couldn't shake it. Now, it wouldn't last for a long time for me, maybe a day or so, but there wasn't anything I could do to fix it. And so, for the first time in my life, I got a little bit of a glimpse of what depression is like. And even as I say that, I realize it was only a snapshot. It would hit me from time to time and still does once in a while, but unlike what others experience, I know it's a temporary thing, right? It's going to pass in time. But it gave me at least a little taste of that. The second experience that I want to tell you about was a little bit more difficult. And that happened just a couple of years ago. It hit the end of a time of some pretty intense stretch of things that were going on here at Portico and in life and in circles outside of here. And I found myself completely exhausted. Like I was battling all kinds of disappointments and frustrations. It was like a mixture of anger and sadness and bitterness. And I was just totally spent. And my mind was just spinning on this stuff, right? I had planned to take some vacation. I asked our elders for a little bit of extended time off, so I was off for, about 6 weeks when it was all said and done, just to kind of recharge spiritually and emotionally because I knew I needed that. But it was about 2 weeks into those 6 weeks, about a third of the way in, and I did not feel any different. Right? Like I could already feel the time clock ticking in the back of my mind too. Like I don't know that having any more time is even going to help the problem. I couldn't see any light at the end of the tunnel, right? No matter how much more time I had off. And I just remember I was meeting someone that day out of town and I arrived early, but I'm sitting in my car and I'm like crying in my car, like going, I don't know what to do here, right? And so I called and left a message for a pastor, a friend of mine who does quite a bit of counseling, and just left a message saying, hey, I'm just reaching out because I know we haven't talked in a while, but I'm kind of in a really bad place, and I'm not sure what to do about it, right? I just need some help. So we ended up getting together, a week or so later, he invited me into, it was a good conversation, we met a couple of times, but he invited me into something that was called the Journey Group. And basically it was a 9-month class / small group that helped me uncover a lot of what was eating away at me beneath the surface. I mean, that's the short version of what it's about, but you'll probably hear some of those stories as some of these weeks unravel. Not so much today, though. But it was a hard process, but it was a good process, right? It helped me recognize things that were going on inside me that I never really realized before. And as a result of going through that hard, difficult thing, like I found myself in a much better place, and in a much better place having gone through it. Because it was through those experiences, these couple of experiences, that God kind of put on my heart a desire to do this series. Now, I've been putting it off for really a couple of years, honestly. Partly because just of how inadequate I feel about taking on the topic, you know. So a couple of disclaimers as we dive in. First, I do not claim to have all the answers. I do not claim to have most of the answers. And maybe by the end of this series, you're going to be like, this guy has like no answers. I don't know. I'm not an expert in any way on mental health issues. I don't have a psychology degree or real extensive training as a counselor. Most of what I'll share in this series about the specific things that come up will come from what I would call reliable Christian sources, right? And we'll provide lists of those resources as the series unfolds so you can check them out for yourself. So just to qualify, that's first disclaimer. Second, we're going to be hitting topics like grief and trauma and anxiety and so on specifically in the coming weeks. Each week in itself is almost an inexhaustible topic. Like, I could spend a month or a year or even a decade doing nothing but researching and studying a specific topic, and I'd only be scratching the surface of it. I mean, people spend their entire lives with an emphasis on just one particular area, and there's like always more to know. There's always more. There's always more. But my hope is that we at least touch on each topic, that you would find this series and also our church family here and this God that we love to be about healing and help and hope. Right? And even if you aren't feeling a particular issue or any of the issues personally, maybe it serves to help equip you to bring healing and help and hope to those that do. Right? So those are my hopes, my disclaimers about the series as we dive in. All right, so as we do, would you pray with me? Father God, I hope you know what you're doing. I trust that you know what you're doing. As we begin as a church to dive into these things, I'm sure that some of these weeks will stir up things in our hearts that we didn't even know were there. I'm sure that those who are wrestling through some of these things have stories to share and experiences that are just heavy and difficult and painful. But you are a God of healing and hope who wants to help us through everything that we face, and it is my desire, my prayer, that you bring that about in this church body, in this church family. And Lord, that even as we go through, if things get stirred up in us, we pray that you would give us the courage to step in and ask for help. Trusting that you will help lead us in the right direction. Be Lord over all of this teaching as it gets shared, and all of the stories that may come to light. And pray that this would be a powerful time, not just for us, but also for those in our lives who we rub shoulders with, that we know are battling these things. We pray that you'd open the door to conversations and compassion as we talk with those around us. So we pray this as we dive in and trust this time and this series to you. In the name of Christ, I pray. Amen. Amen. All right, so as we start this series today, I did not want to focus on a single particular issue, but more on a big picture concept And I'm going to be flat out honest, it's basic. It's very basic, but it's important. It's super simple, but at the same time, it's very profound. And so my hope today is that we will walk away with this as the starting point. And here's, I'll put the point right up, right from the start. Jesus cares deeply about your mental health because he cares deeply about you. Jesus cares deeply about your mental health because he cares deeply about you. And I hope you would personalize that statement. Jesus cares about my mental health because he cares deeply about me. So I want to look at one passage. And when I say one passage, I mean one verse that I think is really significant in this, and it's probably one you've heard before. 1 Peter 5, chapter 5, verse 7. It's in the, this is the NIV, but it says this, "Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you." Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. How many of you are familiar with that verse? Have heard it before, whatever? Throw your hands up if you ever have. All right, well, now you are. And by the end of the next few minutes, you're probably going to be real familiar with it. But here's the thing. When it says cast your anxiety on him, the word translated anxiety here is merimna. It's merimna, and it means solicitude, which is, of course, a word that we never use. So it's translated as care, anxiety, concern, or worry. Right? Care, anxiety, concern, or worry. Merimna also refers to being drawn away and preoccupied with things that pull your mind and heart in different directions. Specifically, that you are led away from the health and the wholeness that God desires for you. Right? Now, it comes from the root word merizo, which means to be divided, as if a part was taken away from the whole of you. You can kind of see the relevance here to these things when it comes to mental health. It's, in essence, it refers to the fracturing of a person's being into parts or pieces, which is a pretty powerful image of our brokenness, right? And what mental health challenges can be like. I kind of blew an opportunity here to have a visual, but imagine, if you could, your reflection in a shattered mirror. It distorts your reality, right? The cracks break up the picture, and maybe a few slivers of glass have fallen off, so it just looks like part of you is missing. That's kind of the idea here, right? So when this verse says, cast your anxiety on him, that's the picture of what is meant by anxiety. Also, merimna here is the singular form of the word. It's not a plural form, but it can refer to many different things, right? Not just one narrow definition of anxiety. In other words, it's not necessarily just anxiety. It can refer to many anxieties. So the New Living Translation lists this verse this way in 1 Peter 5:7. Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. Right? Give all your worries and cares to God. Whatever it is. Don't minimize what it means when God says to cast your cares or your anxieties or your worries on him. Give him your cares. Give him your anxiety and give him all your cares, your worries, and your anxiety without holding back. Why? Because he cares for you. And I just think in my own life, maybe in yours you experience it too, we just tend to minimize the extent of God's care and concern for us. Right? Like if someone says to you, God cares about you, you probably respond with, yeah, I know, of course. God cares about me. Of course he cares about me. He cares about everyone. But his care for us is so much more extensive than what we realize. Right? Because the Greek word that we translate care here is the word melo. And it means care, concern or worry for someone or something, and it's taking an interest in, caring for, and paying special attention to them. Right? Paying special attention to them. So that's what it means when we say God cares for you. One reference book commentary said it this way. The word mellow is anchored, this is going to be a little wordy, but bear with me. It's anchored in the biblical assurance that God's concern is active, personal, and covenantal. And when you think about it, God made all these covenants and these agreements with his people Israel. Now, they broke the covenant all the time, right? They messed up. They ignored it. They disobeyed God. They did it willingly at times. But God remained faithful to his people even in their unfaithfulness. He always kept his promises even when they didn't. In the same way, when it talks about his care and concern for you, it's not going anywhere, no matter what you do, no matter what you've done, right? His care and concern is steadfast and prevailing. Like, he cares so much for you and for me. So, kind of putting this all together, I want to share one more translation of this verse, 1 Peter 5:7, that's a bit more all-encompassing. It's from the Amplified Bible Translation. And I really like this, even though it's a lot of brackets and things, but it gives you the idea. So here's what it says, that we should be casting all your cares, and then it qualifies that, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all, cast your cares on him, for he cares about you. And it qualifies that with deepest affection and watches over you very carefully. Like, that's the spirit of what this verse is saying. And I think we can minimize both aspects of it. Cast your cares on him because he cares for you. No. Cast all your cares, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all on him, because he cares about you with deepest affection and watches over you carefully. Again, don't minimize which cares you can cast on Jesus. And don't minimize the extent to which Jesus cares about them, because he deeply cares about you. Now, again, why am I spending so much time on this one verse today? Because I feel like if we don't start there, if we don't let that reality really sink in, then none of the rest of the series is going to matter. It's just not going to matter. Jesus cares deeply about your mental health because he cares deeply about you. Now, I realize saying all that might stir up some questions and objections in our hearts. For instance, if God cares so much, why does he allow me to battle these issues in the first place? Why, if God cares so much, why do I have to deal with anxiety? Why do I have to deal with depression? Why do I have these bipolar issues? If he cares so much, why did I have to go through this trauma in my life? If he cares, why did he let my good friend or my loved one die? If he cares so much, why didn't he stop it? If he cares so much, why doesn't he fix it? If he cares so much, why doesn't he take away my pain or my loneliness or my addiction? And I think under all that, you can generalize it by saying, if he cares, why doesn't he answer my prayers? Why isn't he answering my prayers? Like, we've probably all been there in that place asking those questions or questions like it about something in our life. Right? Now, it's interesting. I was mostly done with the message. And then Sherry and I, We watched a movie on Friday night, and the movie was called Sight. It still is called Sight. I don't know why I said was. Currently and probably forever will be called Sight. Sight, and it's based on the true story of a Chinese immigrant who came to America to go to medical school. He went to Harvard and MIT, ended up being one of the pioneers of the field of sight restoration. Now, he had tried surgery on one little girl named Kajal, who had her eyes singed with acid as a child in India. This wasn't an accident. This was a common occurrence. It was common for parents to find ways to wound their children, because a blind beggar or a lame beggar would receive more sympathy and money from those passing by than a healthy one. So the doctor, Ming Wang, was moved by this story. And decided he was going to do the surgery with this girl, even though the odds were incredibly, incredibly long. Unfortunately, the surgery didn't work. But it was the first efforts in a new procedure that Dr. Wang created that ended up being used to bring sight to many, many people. I want to show you a clip from that movie. Those who are watching online won't be able to hear this. Just for copyright reasons, we can't play that. Look it up on your own if you can. But for the rest of us here today, let's take a look.
I'm praying for you.
The miracle was not the restored sight, right? It was how God helped her move beyond the tragedy of her past to embrace the present with happiness, and joy, and love. He doesn't always answer us the way that we want. And that can be hard, but this morning, I want to remind us of three things that are true about God that I also think are important when it comes to mental health issues that we might face, or really any issue that we might face, especially when we feel like God isn't answering us the way we want him to. Okay? So three things. And again, these are maybe even more simple than the key point for today. But three things. And the first thing is this. God heals us. God heals us. He does. He is fully capable of healing any disease, illness, physical deficiency, mental health issue that you can face. And he's the only one who can. Completely. And he will do it. I don't know, that might throw you off a little bit, but I want you to hear it this way. He may heal you instantly. Sometimes he does that for people. Like, you know, quick show of hands, how many of you have ever experienced God bringing some sort of healing to someone that was just simply unexplainable? Right? Yeah? About half of us would say, yeah, that's the case. Like, maybe your mom went into a consult or a procedure to remove a lump only to find that it was no longer there. Right? I would say many, if not most of us, have experienced that sort of thing. God can and does heal people in an instant sometimes. He may heal you in an instant. He may heal you gradually. It may be through a long and painful process. It may involve conversations with doctors, counselors, pastors. It may involve some struggle on your part to get to where he wants to take you. But eventually, as you take the path he has laid out for you, he will get you there. And he will walk with you through it, giving you what you need to make it to the end. So he may heal you gradually. But even if he doesn't do either one of those things, and even if whatever we're facing is something that we carry with us the rest of the time that we're alive on this earth, when this life comes to an end, we will get our healing. Like, we get the new body that will last for eternity. He will heal us ultimately. Right? Psalm 103 says that he is the one who forgives all our iniquities and heals all our diseases. We have a song that we've played in the past, "Your love is everything to me," and that line comes up in there, you know, that he heals all of our, and every time we sing it, it's kind of like, really? God heals all our disease every day. We just don't always know when that's going to be. Whether it's instantly, gradually, or ultimately, healing will come. Healing will come. God heals us. Now, again, he may not give us the kind of healing we wanted. That can be hard for us to accept. It's also hard when you hear of someone else who received instant healing or gradual healing when you didn't get it or your loved one didn't get it. And I know that that is a very real struggle that some of you are experiencing right now. You're praying really hard for God to move. You've shed so many tears over what you are facing or what a loved one of yours is facing. And right now, God's not answering those prayers the way you've hoped. That requires a whole lot of trust. And yes, he does want us to trust him. But that doesn't mean God won't heal. And it doesn't mean he doesn't care. God heals. He will, and he does. It may be instantly, it may be gradually, it at least will be ultimately. God heals us. The second thing we need to remember is God helps us, right? Which is especially helpful when he doesn't do it instantly. He will walk with you through whatever it is you are going through. Psalm 46:1 says, "God is our refuge and our strength, an ever-present help in trouble." He is always with you. His presence can give comfort and encouragement through whatever it is you face. He can bring you joy even when what you are facing is terrible. He can bring you strength even when what you are facing seems impossible. And he can bring you peace even as you are in the middle of a storm. Right? He will never leave you. He will never abandon you. He will never forsake you. That's his promise, and God keeps his promises. So God heals us. God helps us. And the last thing, because he has the final say in matters of life and death and eternity, God hopes us. Okay, that's not the right way to say it, but that would be parallel, right? He heals us, he helps us, he hopes us, but we'll say it this way, God gives us hope, right? God gives us hope. Christmas Eve, I shared this verse, Romans 15:13, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound with hope. Right? Our God is a God of hope. Ultimately, whatever we face in this world is not the end for us. For those who put their faith and trust in Jesus in this life, there is the hope of eternal life waiting for us. And this hope is not just a wish. It's not like hoping we'll somehow win the lottery even though we didn't buy a ticket. The hope he brings is certain and sure. And we can count on it, right? God brings us hope. Again, Jesus cares deeply about your mental health because he cares deeply about you. And because of this, I think we can do what 1 Peter 5:7 says, right? To cast our cares, all our cares, all our anxieties, all our worries, all our concerns once and for all on him, for he cares about you with deepest affection and watches over you carefully. But one final question as we close that I want to ask you to consider. I want to pray for us for this morning. Here's the question. What burdens are you trying to shoulder alone that Jesus wants to carry for you? What burdens are you trying to shoulder alone that Jesus wants to carry for you? Again, it doesn't mean he's going to take them away, but he will help us through them. And yet so often, we still ignore him. We'll just take care of this on ourselves. We'll just be tough enough on ourselves, by ourselves, on our own. I got this. Right? Are there aspects of your mental health that you're trying to face on your own apart from Jesus? Said another way, is there a part of your mental health journey that you've been trying to manage by your own strength? Or where in your life are you still relying on yourself for healing instead of leaning on Jesus for healing, for help, and for hope? See, I feel like if we really get this stuff, cast your cares on him because he cares for you, if we know Jesus cares for us so deeply and wants us to cast everything on him, then there's no need for us to hold anything back from him. There's no need to hold anything back from him. Our anxiety, our depression, our loneliness, our bitterness, our grief, our addictions, we bring it all out in the open and lay it at his feet. Right? We bring it to him. There is no need to minimize which cares we can or cannot bring to Jesus. He wants all of them. He wants all of them. He wants to bring you healing. He wants to bring you help, and he wants to bring you hope. And again, he's the only one who can, because he's greater than all of those things. Right? I want to pray for us as we close this morning, and we're going to sing one more song that also kind of goes back a ways. Yeah, team can come on up if you want. Goes back a little ways. And it just sings. Lyrics are about God being greater than anything that we face. So join me in prayer. Father God, you know every single issue and struggle that we have in our life. You understand the deepest parts of who we are. You understand the emotional struggles, the physical struggles, just the relational struggles, the mental health issues that we might be facing in our life. You understand and know them deeply because you know us better than we even know ourselves. You know us better than any doctor, psychiatrist, psychologist, counselor, pastor, friend, parent, sibling, spouse. You know us better than anyone. And you, in your word, tell us to cast our cares on you. All of our cares on you, all of our anxieties, all of what we might be facing. And you want it because you care so deeply for us. So God, if there are areas in our life right now that we're just hanging on to, that we're afraid to take to you, because maybe we're afraid of the answer, or maybe we're afraid that you won't answer, or we won't get the answer that we want, give us the courage to set that reservation aside and to pursue you. And give us the ability to trust that you know what is best, that you are a God who's in control, and that your incredible love for us is going to answer us in a way that is what's best for us and what brings you glory, because you are God. And Lord, if we are trying to carry these burdens alone, help us to release them to you. Help us to trust them to you. Help us to trust that you are going to be who you say you are. You are what we read in your word. You are the God who heals. In one way or another, healing will come, either instantly, gradually, or ultimately. That you will help us through it, whatever your answer is, and that you are bringing us hope. And so we lay this all before you and the cares of our heart, because you care for us. Thank you for hearing our prayers, our hearts' cries, and we turn those same hearts to you in worship. In the name of Jesus, we pray these things. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the podcast of the Portico Church in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. You can find out more about our church at porticocommunity.com.